Okay, so we get the opportunity. This is our Who's Who initiative segment, and the Who's Who initiative is an initiative that Philly Labor has created to honor and recognize those individuals that have represented and advocated on behalf of injured workers and injury victims with distinction. And I'm so happy to have on the program Karen O'Donnell of Stark & Stark and Jordan Frieder, also of Stark & Stark. Karen, you know, we're happy to have you. You're our Who's Who honoree, and certainly we go way back, and certainly you have a long history with representing injured workers and injury victims, and particularly also in organized labor. So, first off, tell us a little bit about Stark & Stark, about the firm, about who you represent, you know.
Right. So, Stark & Stark is a personal injury firm, and we have offices in Philadelphia and Bucks County. We've been in existence for 75 years now.
By the way, you two look great for being in the business for 75 years. I won't say that. No question.
Although after I heard Dr. Polino with the food that I'm eating, I'm thinking maybe not so much looking that
great. Hold on. Eatwild.com. Go ahead.
Yes, eatwild.com. As I'm sitting here drinking my third soda of the day, it inspired me to change my diet.
Right on. But anyway,
Stark & Stark's been around for a long time representing injured people in catastrophic injury and, unfortunately, you know, death cases such as nursing home, and specifically for us, we do construction accidents and nursing home cases. So, and that really comes from my union background and growing up in a construction family.
Exactly. Tell us, but before we get into that, because we're definitely going to get into your commitment to labor and you know, your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself as an attorney, a little bit of in-depth information on the type of cases that you mostly represent.
Yeah, so as I said, construction cases, and I think what sometimes people get confused, there's sometimes workers' comp cases and third-party cases. We do some workers' comp. We're more specialty in that area, but what we really do is the third-party construction cases.
So catastrophic injuries and stuff like that?
Yeah. And by that I mean, so for example, you know, someone's at a construction site and they fall down in a hole. And, you know, that's a workers' comp case, but if another contractor, for example, left that hole open and it wasn't your employer, you can pursue a case against someone other than your employer, and that's what we call a third-party case, and that's really what we do, catastrophic cases like that.
Now, so, Karen, do you deal with, because you deal with construction, do you deal with a lot of serious injuries that have huge ramifications to the individual and to their families, and some are life-threatening, I'm sure? Could be very tough to do.
Yeah, it's tough to do, and actually, you know, we see awful things, and we like to say, Jordan and I, that really what we do is deterrence. Like, we would like to make the world a safer place. And we really think by being trial lawyers and actually getting out there, and one of the things, Joe, you know that I do is I go around and I talk to the unions about how to be safe when you're at the job site. So, but yeah, we see people falling off buildings, losing limbs, unfortunately dying. And it's awful. It's awful how it affects the family. So,
and it's interesting because we last saw each other at the Workers' Memorial. Mm-hmm. Philip Posh does the Workers' Memorial, and there were select top attorneys there in the field of injury. And Karen, of course, was one of them. And how emotional was that day?
Yeah, I mean, it's just sad. And, you know, one of the reasons I got involved in this is, and Joe, you might remember the story. So my whole family is union members. My brother right now is out of Local 98. My older brother was out of Local 401, and he suffered a tragic fall. And his leg to this day is 3 inches shorter than his other leg. But at the time, you know, I was younger, and I saw what my family went through. And that really inspired me to do what I do, because I see it. I've seen it. And I know how people feel to go from, you know, a full life to basically not being able to do anything, or, God forbid, losing somebody. So, and, you know, we really put our heart and souls in.
I'll elaborate on that. So Karen's father, Larry, was the business agent at Ironworkers Local 401 when I was there. My father was there, and her brother, Larry, was a friend of mine, and also was a connector. Somebody who they actually erect they're the frontline gang, and they put the steel together, and everybody else comes through in the background as a backup gang. And so her Larry, I saw that. You know, of course, I talked to Larry and saw the injury after that, and mm-hmm. and it's almost hard to describe what he went through. So I guess Karen, when you go through something like that up front, you know, it inspires you to do whatever you can do to, you know, try to help somebody who might be going through the same thing.
Right, right. And I wasn't even in law school when that happened, and I really think that was the catalyst for me to go to law school, because it's just so much pain and so much suffering when a family goes through something like that. And luckily, we still have them.
And I think the public takes a lot of workers in the trades for granted. They don't validate, or they don't understand the depth of what they do. That always frustrates me.
Yeah, I agree. They just assume people go to work and it gets done, and don't really appreciate what they put at risk every day. All the workers.
What's it like? We'll get into the, you know, what the first thing people should do when they get injured, if they possibly can. But what's it like when somebody comes in? You don't know what's coming through that door next. So when you have somebody that's looking at you and they're lost, I'm assuming you become not only their legal representative, but also a sounding board and somebody who's got to deal with a lot of emotional stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only a sounding board, but you become, for me, they become family. You know, I go out to everybody's house, you know, and I'm not going out to sign up cases or running to the hospitals or anything like that. I'm just going to learn about that family, because I'm going to be their advocate for the next couple of years. And what better way to advocate for somebody? The closer you are to them, the better you know them. So
now, Jordan, let's bring you into the equation. So Karen is our who's who honoree, and obviously, if you're a partner in what the two of you do together, you share in that. Tell us a little bit about what your role is.
So I'm fairly new to the Stark and Stark family. Still started with Karen earlier this year, but have really become ingrained in the kind of work that she does. I don't come from a union background. So.
Listen, that's okay. Now, I heard that the firm was going down the tubes until you got there and rose the whole darn thing.
I heard the same thing, too. Yeah.
But no, that's awesome. But no.
So really, what we do, I mean, we see people every day whose lives have just been turned upside down sure. through no fault of their own. Whether it's, you know, somebody cutting a corner, and that's usually what it is, somebody cutting a corner, you know, when it comes to safety. But it's not just the person gets hurt and, you know, they get nursed back to health and that's it. I mean, these things last with them forever. The physical pain, the emotional pain, and the financial pain, it just doesn't stop. Even if a person's injury gets better, we have to help them put their lives back together. It's not just, okay, we file a lawsuit and write a bunch of papers and that's that. I mean, we really act as like, it's almost like you're a psychologist, you're like a life coordinator,
right,
helping these people put their lives and their families back together to try to get their lives back
to where they once were. And that's because the injury, once the injury occurs, I imagine then it opens up a completely different path for the individual and for the family. I know when my wife was diagnosed, and it changed our lives, meaning we've gone in a different direction now. And I think people may be reluctant to do that. Do you find that from people that suffer major injuries? They're reluctant, or they don't know what to do?
Sure, and you just kind of hit on why, because no one's ever ready for it. It's, you never expect to go to work one day and then you never come home the same again. You know, there's nothing you can really do in your life to anticipate something like that happening. And there's no way to put I hate to use the word safety net, but to put up a safety net to make sure that if something like that does happen, everything in your family is going to be okay. It just doesn't work that way.
Right. And the thing is, it's almost like a culture shock. In other words, like you just said, Jordan, and Stark, you know, has a great reputation in the industry and certainly has done a fine job. so that I'm assuming when somebody chooses the firm and chooses yourselves as to represent them, that's comforting. But no matter what the situation is, nobody can prepare somebody for the culture shock of one day being able to provide for the family and the next day it's completely different.
Yeah, and I think, too, most people that go through not even construction accidents, but even, you know, catastrophic motor vehicle accidents or when they have a really serious injury, at some point they always start out thinking, I'm going to get better. And then there's 9 times out of 10, some point they have that realization.
Reality,
that,
right?
My life is not ever going to be the same. And I think that's the most tragic point for us, you know, because we see medical records, we talk to the doctors, and sometimes we know it before they know it. But to hear someone say that my life is never going to be the same is really just kind of heart-wrenching at times.
Do you find yourself trying to look 20 years down the road or 25 years from the date of the injury and trying to understand how those implications are going to potentially affect their lives? If not today because of the uncertainty, certainly the potential is there for tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, part of what we do, so we're trial lawyers and, you know, it's a civil system. So part of what you do is you want to help those people become whole, and our system only allows that really by money, right? So part of what we do as being trial lawyers is we have to project and look at what their life is going to be 20 years from now. And we use experts and doctors, and we so appreciate you welcoming us to this hour because Weinerman is great. So thank you. But that's part of the things we have to look at. Are they going to need, you know, revisions to their house? Are they going to need ramps? Are they going to need prostheses? Are they never going to work again? So we have to take all that into consideration to make their life whole and provide that for them so that they can continue in their life with the disabilities that they have, but make their life easier for them.
You know, when you sit down and you think about that, you can't help but think a couple things, okay? Let's take ourselves back to the point of the injury, okay? I have unfortunately seen, you know, a number of terrible things, you know, when I was out on the job and work, you know, on occasion. And I can tell you I was a job steward at one time, and it was such, one of our good friends got electrocuted and ended up falling down in the hole. And, man, at that point in time, the last thing you are is rational.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember calling. I might have even been talking to your dad, calling him on the phone, screaming to the top of my lungs because I didn't know if the individual was alive or not. But having said that, the last thing you're thinking of is a case on the time. But what we're talking about here that you individuals have to deal with on a daily basis is that individual might be standing in front of you, and you're calculating the rest of their life, and they're looking at you. It's almost heartbreaking just to think about.
They're not. I would say the individual's not.
Well, they're right,
no.
Right in the here and now.
Sure. They're thinking, honestly, I think it's been our experience that people are thinking of ways to get better. You know, what can I do to get my life back to normal or the way it was? But unfortunately, at some point, you know, their injuries are so catastrophic, it won't go back to being normal. And what we do is to provide whatever we can provide in the future through getting them a recovery or through a trial or whatever it is so that they can get those things to make their life closest to what it was before.
Let's be honest. You're going to work to make a living for your family. You can only do it if you get paid, and you get paid money. When you don't have that situation anymore, you need to look towards the future because the only thing that's going to secure you is that. Now, going back to the point of injury, even if you're a job steward or if you're injured and you can actually think, you can actually think clearly, if it's even humanly possible, what is the first thing somebody should do when they get injured on a job, because they have rights to protect also, if they possibly can?
Well, most of our injuries are so catastrophic that person doesn't get an opportunity to be able to report it. But to the extent that you can report your own injury, you obviously want to do that. The other thing Jordan and I always recommend when we go and we talk to apprentices or to the union halls is the person who is experiencing, you're right, can't think, and they're not thinking a lawsuit. No one ever is. I mean, really, they're not. But to the extent that you can take a picture and help that person,
right,
or you grab that piece of equipment, or you jot down that serial number,
right,
you are going to help out that person in the long run, because I can tell you 9 times out of 10, those things disappear right away. You know, maybe not maliciously, but they tend to...
The details, you mean?
The details. The details disappear either because people forget or people don't think they're going to need a certain piece of information. Maybe sometimes it's on purpose. I don't know. But the best thing you can do is to help out your coworkers, or if you're a witness to any type of incident, you know, step up. Take a picture. Give your name.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, typically you're there to help your brother or sister in any way you possibly can, because somebody's got to be thinking rationally on that point. And there's so many ramifications from an injury that how normally run-of-the-mill situations, I'm sure there's a million different situations, but at what point do you typically find out? How long after an injury? I'm sure you've heard the next day at times, or even that, but on an average. And when I say that, the question I'm leading to is, how hard is it to backtrack to get the actual information and proof at that point?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for us. If Jordan, you want to expand on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, selfishly, from a legal perspective, we'd like to hear from you as soon as humanly possible. Time is never good for any kind of...
It's all the yes,
reason
that's right.
That Karen said, you know, things start to disappear. But, I mean, we have the ability once someone has come to us to start, you know, really just digging through every piece of paper that, let's say, a construction company has to find out the information we're looking for, to get people's names, to, you know, so we can get witness accounts.
Witnesses.
You know, to find out what equipment was or wasn't on a job site, things like that. So, obviously, the sooner it happens, the better. But it's not really a discouraging factor, because even after the fact, I mean, legally, we still have all different kinds of avenues to get the kind of information that we're looking for.
You're visiting with Karen O'Donnell and Jordan Frieder from Stark & Stark on the Pain and Wellness Hour here on 860 AM WWDB. We'll take a short commercial break and come back.
We're going to continue our Who's Who segment with Karen O'Donnell and Jordan Frieder of Stark & Stark. Karen, first off, are any out-of-pocket costs to retain, you know, your representation?
No, of course not. So, you know, you hear this all the time, and that's the way personal injury cases work. So it's a contingency fee. So we don't charge anybody unless we're able to get a recovery or go to trial and get a verdict. And, of course, consultations are free. It's just what we do to help people.
And contact information.
So the number at Stark & Stark is 267-907-9600. You can feel free to ask for Karen or for Jordan.
All right. Awesome. So let's kind of continue our conversation on the the third party injuries, you know, at work. Talk about follow up. We were talking, during the break about that type of situation.
Yeah. One of the things I just wanted to mention, Joe, about, and Jordan touched on this as well, about selfishly, we would like somebody to come to us as soon as possible, because we do want to get out there and preserve, you know, anything. And it's kind of interesting for lawyers now with technology, because with drones, there's companies that are actually coming to us to, distribute drones once an incident happens, to go out and take pictures, mm-hmm. like, immediately after it happens. So, you know, it's just another form of technology that we're looking into to make sure we're preserving everything.
Karen, are you or do you welcome a call from the family instead of the individual? The individual has been injured on the job. He or she has suffered a traumatic injury. They're either in the hospital or they're being treated. The family wants to reach out. Is that unusual or not?
No, actually, that's more common than not, usually because the person is so catastrophically hurt that they don't have the ability to reach out. And I will say this. Sometimes people don't end up pursuing litigation. And we've gotten calls where we've sent investigators out or went out and take pictures, and the family just decides it's not something they want to do. So we're willing to make sure that things are documented and preserved at no cost, even if it's
right. There's no quid pro quo. In other words, you want to protect their rights in point of if they decide to not to move forward with it. Well, they got that information if they need it.
Right. Exactly.
So. Let's talk about the medical care for this type of a situation. Somebody gets injured on the job, but let's say it's not a catastrophic injury. They mm-hmm. don't get, but they're still injured. They were climbing, you know, they were, like, let's use your instance, they're walking and there was a hole and it was there because somebody else from another company put it there. They go down, they injure their back. It's not a bad one, but or at least they don't know if it's bad, but mm-hmm. they didn't lose a limb, so you can't, but it's still serious. How quickly do they need to get to the doctors, and what's the difference between a personal injury type situation and a workers' comp medical type situation?
Okay. So if you get hurt at work and you're in the course and scope of your employment and you're doing something that's job related, you have workers' compensation. So that's a no-fault type of law, meaning regardless if who's at fault, you get workers' compensation benefits where they pay for your medical and they also pay for a percentage of your wages. Under that kind of law, you have to report your injury, and there's time frames for that. Okay, so a third-party case is if someone's at fault. So that's a little bit different. There's no reporting requirement, but to the same extent, we want to put that company on notice as soon as possible because we send out preservation letters. Like, we send out a letter right away saying preserve everything. In terms of medical treatment, yes, they would be covered by workers' compensation. So there is certain time frames if you sign documents that you would have to treat with what we call panel physicians and see those doctors.
Now, when you're obviously, you know, you handle the personal injury, but you do have, obviously, there's expertise at the firm in workers' comp. And when you're in a situation where somebody's gotten injured on a job as a third party, you have to coordinate that with that. In other words, you understand how important is it to understand both sides and to make sure that, you know, they both work for the injured worker.
Right. So most firms, in our experience, do one or the other, and they have one attorney represent for third party and one attorney represent for workers' comp. The reason we don't do that is because everything is related to the other case. So if you testify in your workers' comp case, guess what? That testimony, whatever you say, is going to affect you in your third party case. So if you...
Working together is important.
Yeah, well, that's why we do both, because they, you know, there's releases that could be in one case that affect the other case. So it's just they're so intertwined. We have chosen to do both and not refer out. So you get us for everything. We're your trial lawyers from beginning to end.
Karen O'Donnell and Jordan Frieder from Stark & Stark visiting with us today on the Pain and Wellness Hour. Jordan, your most difficult or your most challenging thing during the course of your day is what?
Most challenging. Yeah, besides working for Karen. No. I think it kind of goes back to what we were talking about before. Just thinking about the people that we represent and the pain that they're and their families are going through. I'm fortunate to wake up every day and I'm healthy and I come to work, and I guess a lot of us probably take that for granted. But then when you really get into a case and start thinking about, you know, what's this person experiencing at home every day, you know, we don't get to see them every day in the office. And when you start thinking about things like that, it goes past being a lawyer and it kind of hits you as a human being. I mean, I think for me that's kind of the most difficult thing. But at the same time, it makes it easy to fight for people when you know that they're experiencing those kind of things and you're in a position where you can help them.
And when you are...
Would you say... Hold on one second, J-Doc. Sure. I didn't mean to cut you off. Would you say your client or the individual wants you to be a friend or wants you to be an attorney?
I would say both. I mean, they're looking for somebody they can trust, right? And that's the most important thing. I mean, they've been put in a vulnerable position. That's why they got hurt. And they need somebody who they know is going to be in their corner, who's going to listen to them, and who's going to fight for them, and who's going to help them put their life back together as best they can.
When you're in the process and you're dealing with the other side, Does it ever get emotional for you when, for example, you know you've got a situation with an individual whose family's broken down or their body's broken because of this injury? And, you know, does it get personal ever when, you know, when you're getting insulted, you know, by the other side giving you some kind of offer that you know is not going to be able to satisfy the needs of your client?
Yeah, I think we're very passionate in what we do and who we do it for. So you can't help at times but take it a little bit personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because we're so passionate, I mean, there's times that, you know, you shed a tear. And
sure.
I'll say that as a woman and also as an attorney, but you just do because it's you really see things that you never really imagined and have never really had to go through. So, and back to your question, Joe, I think, you know, we're counselors. We advocate for people. At points, we're friends. But, you know, you always have to remember you are the attorney because they're relying on you and trusting you to make decisions for them.
I sometimes feel
or with
like,
them, I should say.
Sure. I sometimes feel like the toughest part of the process, and this may not be accurate, the toughest part of the process is the first call to you. Yes or no?
I think that's one of the tough points because I think I don't think people wake up every day going, oh, I'm going to go get a lawyer today and I'm going to file a lawsuit today and I just want money. Like, that's not how people think despite, you know, the negativity that comes with personal injury. So,
but Karen, you know, you deal with a lot of union clients and that's not the first thing they're thinking of. The first thing they're thinking of is they want to get back to work. And that by the time you get the call, because, you know, and it should be what our experience is on at the point of injury, but that typically doesn't happen. By the time you get the call, you're looking at an individual who's come to grips with the fact that they're in trouble and they need help. And I know from personal experience, Karen O'Donnell has done an amazing job in representing a lot of our union workers across the Delaware Valley. And certainly, you know, that's why we're really proud to have her as part of the Who's Who. And the man behind the curtain, Jordan, here, certainly we're ecstatic to have you here as well. So, Karen, I want to congratulate you on being our Who's Who honoree. Jordan, you're a part of it, so I want to congratulate you as well. Awesome to have you guys on the program.
Can't do it without them.
And Karen, real quick, the phone number again at Stark & Stark?
267-907-9600.
Awesome. Karen O'Donnell.
All right, it's good stuff
Thank
with
you.
Karen O'Donnell and Jordan Frieder of Stark & Stark here on the Pain and Wellness Hour.